Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show for Wednesday, the 29th of June. Thanks for your company on 1170 SEN Sydney, 1620 SEN on the Gold Coast, wherever you're listening in via the SEN app. If you'd like to get in touch, 1300 01 1170 is the open line, or you can text me 0457 736 736 and follow us on Twitter at Matty White SEN. The weather today for Sydney, partly cloudy, 19 degrees with light winds. And for the Gold Coast, cloudy with a chance of a shower near the coast, a top of 20 degrees. Coming up on the show today, a busy one. Dragons hooker and now 300 gamer in the NRL, Andrew McCulloch will be my guest. In fact, he's going to line up for his 301st game against the Raiders on Sunday as the Dragons try to stay inside the top eight. So looking forward to Macca joining us a little bit later on. The Wallabies are getting ready to meet Eddie Jones's England in Perth this weekend. Brumbies and Wallabies half Nick White will give us an insight into what's been happening in the Aussie camp and what they expect of this English side, the first of three test matches. And there's a fair bit going on in the world of cricket. SEN commentator Bharat Sundaresan is on the ground in Sri Lanka ahead of the two test series against the Sri Lankans there for the Aussies. Bharat will give us his thoughts on the Dave Warner leadership situation as well and the massive schedule facing the Aussies this summer. Full coverage, by the way, of Australia v Sri Lanka right here on SEN, on the SEN app from 2 o'clock. Plus, the Sydney Morning Herald's chief sports writer Andrew Webster will be with me. It is Wednesdays with Webby. There's a fair bit to cover. Get your questions in 0457 736 736 or call 1300 01 1170. So what's making news today in rugby league? Damien Cook is reportedly after a three-year deal at the Rabbitohs, so looking to stay there until 2026. He's contracted until the end of next year, Cookie, but apparently wants a long-term deal. Well, he does want a long-term deal. Wants to play until he's about 36 years of age and wants to go the distance at South Sydney, pointing out that he did have a later start than most in his NRL career. Let's have a listen to Damien Cook on the Fox League podcast.
I do feel quite fresh, and that's probably because of the late start. Touch wood, no serious injuries at the moment in my career, and hopefully not any to come. I'm still feeling really good and want to finish. I'd love to finish my career at South Sydney as well. We've had the first meeting the other day, the managers. I spoke to my manager, and we spoke about where we sit and what I'd like. And then obviously I spoke to the coach as well to see what his thoughts were. And then that way, that was off the table out early a few weeks ago, and then I could let the management and the club sort it out from there. So, like I said, I want to finish my career here, and I feel like I played at 35, 36. But if it was to say, I'd love 3 years, and I'd call it quits after that, just so I could finish at South Sydney.
So it looks as though they're working this out really well, getting all options on the table and making very clear what they want, but also trying to find out what the club wants. So should the Bunnies lock him in? They had a chance with Adam Reynolds, but moved him on. Now, we all know about that situation, but should South Sydney do the opposite here and let Cook finish his career as a Rabbitoh? Or is it asking too much to extend his deal right out to 2026? Let me know your thoughts on that one. Latrell Mitchell is back in Rabbitoh's colours. He's been named to take on Parramatta this weekend. So here's a question that was posed to me while I was doing breakfast yesterday with James Magnusson on this network. If Latrell has a blinder, a listener asked me this yesterday, if Latrell has a blinder on the weekend, if he's man of the match against the Eels, does Freddie have to pick him for Origin Game 3? Does he just play himself straight back in on form coming back in after missing such a big, big chunk of the season? If he gets through fitness-wise, if he plays the house down, does he force Freddie's hand? Or do you pick him anyway? Or do you go with the incumbents? Now, we're not going to know until Sunday night when the team is announced, the squad is announced for Game 3, but this continues to be a burning question around State of Origin, and we'll get more answers around that this weekend with Latrell Mitchell back in South Sydney colours. The West Tigers, meanwhile, have named Luke Brooks at halfback for their match against the Warriors, the return home, as we know, for the New Zealand team to Mount Smart Stadium. So a week ago, he was going to be dropped, and that word reportedly coming from within a notoriously leaky club. And on Team List Tuesday, he's then named in the side with Adam Dewey on the bench. They could be on a hiding to nothing this weekend. In fact, both clubs have a lot to lose. If the Warriors can't win in their return home before a packed Mount Smart Stadium, they could hardly win anywhere. If Brooks doesn't perform, the questions around the Tigers and their selections and their leaks get louder and louder. So that's the scenario facing both teams over there in New Zealand this weekend. And word today that Matt Lodge could become a Rooster for 20 grand a week. What have you made of this one? That's the notional salary cap figure the NRL has put on Lodge after he left the Warriors. So he's only played one game in second grade rugby union in Brizzy since leaving the Warriors. That didn't end well. But the Roosters are set to pounce and sign him up for the rest of the season. But the reports are that it's a 100 grand deal and the notional salary cap figure is 20 grand. So that works out to be five matches in between now and the end of the season. Good signing. What do you make of that? Are you happy with the price tag? Do you think that works for the Roosters and Matt Lodge? Let me know your thoughts. And it is Try July. So the celebrations are finally back. On this day, in fact, on this very day, Mark Piggy Riddell, back in 2002, had one of the beauties. Dragons v Cowboys, Wynn Stadium. He jumps the fence and lights up the crowd.
Riddell from Acme Harp, yawning yet again. He doesn't need support. He's got himself a double in the space of 2 minutes. What about the gap? He's run out of the ground. He's standing in front of his club with himself. I'll tell you what, that is one of the funniest things I've seen. Oh, what is going on?
All those years ago, talk about entertainment factor. Try July starts next weekend. So I want to know this morning, who do you reckon did it best? We had Jared Hayne with the Hayne plane. Remember Braden Yueli, Jack Williams doing the wrestling moves, channeling The Rock. Brandy all those years ago did the backflip and others followed, Chock Mundine and others along the way. Are you for or against the Try celebrations in Try July? And who will be best at celebrating tries when we kick in to July? I love it. I used to love the fact that this was an added entertainment part to the game. And then it sort of drifted away a little bit. I'm not sure how many coaches really dig it, but the NRL can embrace it in July, and it's one for the fans. It is an absolute bonus for the fans, especially the kids. Are you for or against the over-the-top try celebrations when we click into July and Try July starts next weekend? Let me know your thoughts on that. 0457 736 736. It is 7.5 minutes after 9 o'clock in tennis news. Nick Kyrgios has won a five-setter in his first round at Wimbledon, so he beat Britain's Paul Jubb 3-6, 6-1, 7-5, 7-6, 7-5. But with Nick Kyrgios, that's not even half of the story because the show was on again. So along the way, he called the line judge a snitch who has no fans. He took aim at the rowdy crowd during the match as well. He spat towards some fans. He just had one of those classic Nick Kyrgios outbursts.
The spectators who spend money to come watch us play, they should be removed. Like, there's no pure disrespect. Like, I don't go up to their face and go to their 9 to 5 and start clapping when they're scanning in a supermarket, do I? Like, oh, boo, yeah, well, no, you can't scan that thing. Like, do I say that? No. They have no right to do that. So why does it keep happening? Do I turn around and just like?
But that's what I want to do. That's what you. I want you to see like this.
Yeah, I know, but you should just remove them from the crowd.
So it's the Seinfeld defense. I don't come to your workplace and give you grief while you're trying to work, so why should the crowds be able to do that? Then there's the spitting incident. Now, he's facing some fines after admitting to the media, and I give him credit for this one, admitting to the media after the match that he did spit towards some fans.
At the end, you did appear to spit in the direction
of one of the people disrespecting me. Yep. Yes.
So that was deliberate to show.
Yes,
you.
I would not be doing that to someone who was supporting me.
So there you go. It's a lot about respect here for Nick Kyrgios and disrespect. He brings it up time and time again. What to do with Nick? On one hand, you can't look away. He's the ultimate entertainment package in a sport that can be pretty staid at times, especially at Wimbledon. On the other, he's a walking contradiction, accusing fans of being disrespectful while at the same time showing some pretty heavy disrespect to officials. There were two line judges who had silver hair, two grey-haired line judges there who were actually in his line of attack as well. He said, these people are in their 90s, they can't see the ball, which is actually pretty funny. But if you want to go down the route of being disrespectful, You can't have it both ways like that. He also made a claim that he was justified in attacking officials because he gets more abuse on social media than they do. I'm fair dinkum. He said, I just know factually, like if we go through my Instagram compared to an umpire's, it's disgusting some of the things I deal with. If I lose a tennis match and it all comes down to a call, they're not getting abused on social media. I have to deal with it. My girlfriend deals with hate messages. My family deals with hate messages. I deal with hate messages. So you can go both sides with Nick Kyrgios. What camp are you in? I love the entertainment factor. And you know what? When we were doing the Bricky show yesterday with the missile, we had a caller who phoned up and said, you can't take Nick Kyrgios seriously. And Missile said, I don't take him seriously, and that's why I enjoy watching him. And it got me thinking towards a different side of Nick Kyrgios, but he's in the headlines again. He knows how to get a big headline, and he's still in the tournament, so he will have more to say. You can have yours, 1300-01-1170. The headline acts on day two of play. Rafa goes through in four sets. Women's world number one, Iga Świątek, in straight sets, but Serena Williams in her comeback is out. Now, this is really interesting this morning, the way it played out. You've got a 40-year-old, seven-time Wimbledon champ, now ranked 1,204th in the world. So take that off the charts, and there's no ranking points available for Wimby this year anyway. 40 years of age, legend of the sport, going for Grand Slam number 24, major win number 24. She's beaten by Harmony Tan, 7-5, 1-6, 7-6. Harmony is 24 years of age. She's from France. It's her first ever Wimbledon. She's only made it to the second round at a major twice before at the Australian and the French last year. She was 8 months old when Serena played her first Wimbledon tournament. She was 8 months old, and here she is in 2022, knocking out a seven-time Wimbledon champ who's on the comeback trail. Prize money difference? Harmony's won $900,000. Serena has won $94.5 million. How's that for a matchup today at Wimbledon? For the Aussies, day two results, wins to Kyrgios, as we know. Alex Demonor, Jordan Thompson, Jason Kubler's got through as well. And Ilya Tomljanovic has won through. Losses for the Aussies, Alexei Popperin out, Zoe Hives, Astra Sharma, Jamie Foulis, and Daria Seville have all been knocked out in round one. And in football this morning, Matildas v Portugal, that has finished at 1-1. The friendly being played in Estoril, or that was played this morning in Estoril in Portugal, coming off the 7-0 loss to Spain. So as you see, we've got a plenty of things on the plate this morning for us to get through. A very big morning ahead. 1300-01-1170. Is the open line, or 0457 736 736 on the text line. It is Wednesdays with Webby. Andrew Webster joins me after this.